Welcome to the Breach Podcast, a Charlie Mike production. I'm Ty Braxton, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen in today. I discuss issues surrounding us and how to build our faith and strengthen our walk with the Lord. I want to provide you with tools so that you can Charlie Mike. Charlie Mike is better understood as continue mission, and I want you to be able to Charlie Mike in your own mission field. And before we get started, hit the like button, subscribe, and hit the bell notification so you can be notified of future videos that I post. And also check out our shop. The link will be in the description below. And if you'd like to partner with me and donate, that information will be in the description as well. So we've discussed that there will be many times that people try to convince us that you don't need to do that much or that much isn't necessary. They will try to say that it makes more sense to do less because everything that we are doing to enhance the kingdom, to advance the kingdom of God, isn't necessary. It's like saying laying down a good foundation for a house isn't necessary, or for builders to lay that foundation isn't necessary. The reason is that your obedience will expose their disobedience or their passive lifestyle. So the question, if you have been listening to any of the recent podcasts, has been, if I put forth a lot of effort to do whatever I wanted or to have and live in sin, to waste time, money, resources, and even relationships, why would I do less with my time, money, and resources after being set free from bondage and set free from a sinful lifestyle? So why would I do less for Jesus when I put so much effort into the world that doesn't care about my soul? And when we walk out in obedience, many times our relationships are restored. And that is why we preach Jesus, to see that relationship between you and Jesus restored. But a lot of times what happens is these Christians, these passive Christians, are convinced by these neutered, passive, lukewarm Christians that they hang out with that obedience isn't necessary. So they can't be led by the Holy Spirit because they are being led by people who are being led by laziness and an undisciplined lifestyle. They don't think they need to walk out their salvation. They don't feel like they need to walk the second mile. So we've talked about the topic of banners. This is part two of the banner topic, and I've titled it The Second Mile. In Matthew 5:41, it says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." In Matthew 5:38-48, Jesus is talking about not getting revenge and loving your enemies. Now remember, the Jews were looking for a way out of Roman occupation and thinking that the Messiah would come to be the one to do it. But of course, Jesus wasn't there to free them from the bondage of Roman occupation, but from the bondage from the ruler of this world. So let's get an explanation from Roman history of what the second mile actually is. So if you were a Roman citizen and there was a Roman soldier or politician or anyone of higher status than you walking down the road, you are obligated to help them carry their baggage 1 mile and walk with them 1 mile. But Jesus says, walk the second mile. So when he said walk the second mile, they knew what he was talking about because they knew their responsibility as a Roman citizen to walk that first mile. But it seems many times most Christians try to get out of doing the work. They try to get out of fulfilling their responsibility in their homes, in their churches, on the streets, reaching people for Jesus. So I'm not going to argue with another believer when there are people who have never heard or studied the gospel. It is my job to preach it and give them the opportunity to accept the truth or reject it because they don't like it or it offends them. The Bible will offend people, and you cannot make people accept it or believe it. But the Bible will offend people because they love their sins so much they would fight harder to keep it rather than receive freedom from it. And those of us walking in obedience to the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit cannot neglect what we have been given to steward, because the Holy Spirit will not lead you to neglect that which you have been given to steward and raise up. And what I mean by that is we've been given responsibilities, and even if we are obedient in some areas and disobedient in other areas, For example, we can win the world and lose our homes because we didn't minister in our homes and ministered in the world. We can lose our home even if we're obedient outside the home. And it needs to start with the home. So those that you are called to raise up know what they need to do outside the home. Our families need to see and participate in the move of God, but if we are leading them and teaching them, then it will be difficult for them to return to it if they haven't been raised up in it. So if my family sees me working harder on the outside of the home, it's going to be harder for them to accept the thing that I'm doing because that's the thing that they were neglected by. The world is along that second mile, but your family and your house should be the first mile. That way your family can go with you on the second mile. I can't wait to do ministry with my kids on the battlefield. And we've already started. We feed the homeless and we pray for the homeless. And they go with me to do that. I don't want them to only go to church being pogues. And a pogue is someone, when we were deployed, that's someone who never rolled out on a mission while in a combat zone. It stands for personnel other than grunt. You can identify these people as the people who just go to church, like the soldiers that just stay on base. You don't do God any favors by just showing up. So quit acting like it. Now, you do need to show up, but you don't need to stay there and act like that's where the only work is taking place. Let us not stop at the 1 mile of salvation in our homes. Let us continue onto the second mile of signs, wonders, and miracles that point people to our Savior and prepare the way of the Lord. And when I say prepare the way of the Lord, I'm talking about fulfilling the Great Commission to continue the work that Jesus started and that he gave us authority to continue until he returns. So if we are not walking that out on the second mile, it will take even longer for him to return. He did not call us to wait to be rescued from this world, but called us to win the world to him. And that prepares the way for him. And in Matthew 24:14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So it obviously requires work in this scripture. We are all called to preach the gospel, not just pray that we get rescued from the world. So he isn't coming back for a lazy church. Make sure your sword is sharp and gear is fastened tight, for these pieces of war are not issued for interior design, but to absorb the force of the enemy so we can continue to carry the fire from battlefield to battlefield, freeing territory to territory. The soldier who is willing to sacrifice the armor instead of the flesh are as useless as the plow that doesn't break ground. We are not here to debate, we are here to demonstrate. And I got that quote from Dr. Andrew Willis, the man who spits fire every time he opens his mouth. You must contend. Nobody is going to hold your hand. God goes before us, and then there is action required. God's promises are conditional on our obedience. He's not a genie in the bottle. Okay, we don't just come to him with our requests and then he just answers them all. We keep begging God to do it, but he says, you go do it. Like, I've seen people literally see a homeless person and say, oh God, I pray that someone blesses them. When you have money in your pocket to answer that prayer, he says, go do it. He says, I've given you my Holy Spirit. You do it. Many times we are the answer to our own prayers. God answered your prayer by equipping you to complete what you have asked to be done. So stop trying to talk me out of doing things for God. Stop trying to talk me into doing less for God. As you step foot on the road for the second mile, do not be persuaded to stop by those who refuse to start. Do not be persuaded to step out of the will of God by those who refuse to step in it. People are lost and hurting. They are under attack, and they need assistance. They need freedom. They need Jesus. The enemy is met on the battlefield, but not many are willing to put one foot in front of the other to get to the danger. The violence calls to us. In Matthew 11:12, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." So arm yourselves. We who possess freedom must realize we are indebted to those who don't. And when I say step out onto the road and put your foot on the road, that's not the only place your foot will travel. I expect there to be a footprint. And when I say a footprint. It means your foot is no longer there, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to see the footprint. It means that foot has been there, but that's not where the foot stayed. We need to remember that when we look at other believers, just because the footprint has been in sin doesn't mean we need to think that God hasn't used their repentance to leave footprints in other territories. We all have walked in sin, but if you have repented, there should be a footprint there. And then other footprints should be left on the first and second mile. Footprints can tell a story of territory taken and how to expel darkness. We should always keep each other accountable when correction is needed, but don't ever keep treating people like they are on trial for something that happened years ago, for something that was repented of, for something God has forgotten about. The second mile has no respect for the first mile already walked. Continue to occupy the second mile and claim your place in the race that was prepared for you, so you can use that race to prepare the way of the Lord. In our Christian life, we must abandon passivity if we want to fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave us. But much of the church believes that we are stuck on this earth with Satan, and they have raised their white flag of defeat to him. But if we would wave our white flag to Jesus, it would become a white flag of victory. And then we would realize that we are not stuck on this earth with Satan, but he is stuck on this earth with us, the army of God. In my book, White Flag of Victory, I discuss my time in combat and the parallels between warfare in the military and the warfare in the Christian life. If you'd like to add this to your library, you can find it on Amazon and the link in the description below. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and are ready to come to God, I would like to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But first, I want to be clear. Praying a sinner's prayer is not a ticket into heaven. These are not magic words. You must follow Christ and live for him. You cannot receive salvation by your own merits, but by what Jesus has already done. Ask to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled and experience what God has for you. You will not live the same life or be able to keep Jesus to yourself if you become a Christ follower. 1 John 2:4 tells us that the one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Those commandments are to love God and to love others. If you love God, you will follow him, and if you truly love others, you will want others to experience God and give their lives to him as well. So if you are ready to pray, pray this. God, I ask for forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me, and nothing I have done wrong is too great for the power of his blood that was shed for me. I am ready to forsake the world and live a changed life because I realize how much you love me. I love you, and I'm ready to live for you. If you made the decision to surrender your life to God and follow Jesus, I encourage you to spend time daily with him in prayer and reading his word and worshiping him for who he is. Much will be revealed to you in this time with him. Be a part of a community of believers to grow in the fullness of God and his word, and join a church that does the same. Get involved and stay accountable to each other. Also, please let me know that you made this decision by emailing me at charliemike.me@gmail.com. Or message me on Facebook at facebook.com/charliemikeinternational.